If you will, turn with me your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Tonight we're going to talk about something. I don't know particularly how many people this affects. I know it is something that runs rampant in my family, and it's cost the lives of a few people I know. But it's the power of negative thoughts. And we can go even further. We can say depression, but I think you can have negative thoughts without being depressed. And I think that you can have depression and not necessarily be fed by negative thoughts. Those will come, but the depression could be separate from that. And there's some things that that Paul talks about in this Bible. About in particular, it talks about something about arresting or leading our thoughts captive, and we're going to look at that tonight. And it's something I've been very aware of for a long time. I remember maybe even hearing something like this before I was ever even a saved man about leading my thoughts captive. Here's the thing about that is I don't know if you're like me with I didn't understand at all what it means to lead or captivate your thoughts. When I think of captivate, what is the Ray Stevens song, The Squirrel That Went Berserk? You ain't gonna catch that thought. You ask me what I'm thinking sometimes, I can't lay my hands on it. It's all over the place. It's going everywhere. I can't tell you what that exact negative thought is. But doing some study and out of necessity because of some negative things that I've been feeling, things that I've been going through, I'm having to sort through this, and I've saw some things in the text, and learned some things that I think may be helpful. And one other thing I want to say real quick is, a lot of times, what we've experienced recently with this COVID thing is before this happened, none of us felt like we had permission to slow down and stop and take a chill. We feel like we have to keep up with things. What we found out, if we've learned anything at all, it's that we can slow down and life still goes on. Everybody's going to be okay. No, you can stop doing stuff for a minute and give other things special attention. You don't have to keep, if the world is pushing, going, you can stop for a minute. The world will go on without you. We see that happening. And before, I think there's times where you and I actually use the busyness of things going around, things going on, to not lay our thoughts captive. And those negative thoughts become breeding grounds. And it goes on and on and on because we never deal with them. And they end up taking over and they end up arresting our minds. And so that's what we're going to look at tonight. Let me just kind of get us in the context of where we are. In 2 Corinthians, this is back when the beginning of the early church and the early church began to spread and churches were being planted. And there was a man who was late to the game. He said he was an apostle out of season. It was Apostle Paul. And Apostle Paul risked his life to go to Corinth, which would be like a pagan capital of the world at that time, to plant a church there. And he wrote a letter to them. We're in 2 Corinthians tonight, but he wrote 1 Corinthians also. 1 Corinthians was the first letter. And he wrote that letter to him. That letter is a practical letter. That letter is a letter that you write to a church that you planted that needs to know how to do church. Teach them how marriage should be done, what kind of freedoms you have, how to exercise your gifts in the church, how to have order in the church. Those things are there. The second letter he writes is not as much practical as it is personal. It's a very personal letter. The reason why it's personal is because there was actually an attack on Paul's character and who he was from these guys who were he calls the false teachers. We could call them deceivers or whatever we want to call them, but they're attacking Paul's character and his authority to teach the things that he taught. And what they were doing is they were trying to manipulate Christians. Okay, you and I are. If you're in here tonight and you're saved, you know what it's like to be a Christian. You also know what it's like for someone to try to manipulate you. Satan does it all the time. He tries to compete with that headspace that you have to enter in to counter every truth, everything that you know to be true, to counter it with a false idea. And I want to say this before we ever get started tonight into the Scripture. being a Christian is not, it's very much about what we do, but it's a basis on what you know. Okay? Being a Christian, what you're always reminded in the Bible, know this. It's always a reminder of what you should know. And the knowledge is the knowledge of God, the knowledge of what God's done to you, the knowledge of what God's called you to, the knowledge of what God has made you. But it's all about knowledge and what you know. And what happens is Satan competes for what you know. All right, let's start into the Scripture and we'll talk about some things. Start in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. He says, "For walking in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." So we'll just stop right there. Even though you and I, we live with some physical limitations. I say some, and that's being very light. We live with a lot of physical limitations. But he uses this word. He says, we war not according to the flesh. We don't war with the same limitations that we do, that we have in our fleshly bodies. The war that we have goes outside. He uses this word war, and it's a military term to describe what Christians, the conflict between Christians, and you guys remember the three things that Christians fight? Satan, the world, and our own flesh. Those are the enemies of a Christian, okay? Those are the consistent three. You always have those. Satan, the world, and flesh, okay? And Paul describes the war that we have in conflict with those as a military term, a war. And in a war, the reason why I use the word war is because there's casualties. There's injury. And we're not talking about shrapnel to the leg like Calvin got, right? We're not talking about somebody walking around on crutches. We're talking about different kinds of injuries. We're talking about someone being taken out of the game of life. We're talking about somebody not being able to be used for the kingdom of God because of the injuries they sustain because they are living a defeated Christian life. Look at verse 4. He says, "For the arms of our warfare are not fleshly." Okay? So we're not fighting with our hands and our fists. We're not fighting with swords. And we're not fighting with shields, physical ones. He says, "But powerful according to God to the overthrow of strongholds." Now, the Christian is armed with some things. And Paul talks about it in Ephesians chapter 6. He says we're armed with the Word of God. We're armed with righteousness, with truth, with those kind of things. And what these things are, the knowledge of those things. Get me real quick. It's the knowledge of these things that is our armament. Those are the things that we fight with, knowing these things. If you don't know those things, you cannot fight with them. And listen, the difference of knowing something and not knowing something is it being real or not being real. And that just a place of starting tonight. If we don't know these things, if some of the things that Carrie said to me one time, she says, "I'm glad sometimes I get to hear." She gets to hear me repeat myself a lot. Sometimes I go to Arnold Towers and I preach things, and sometimes I teach things in Sunday school and different stuff. And she gets to hear me sometimes repeat. So I'm glad I get to hear that twice because it helps me set things in. It helps me to know them. It helps me to learn them and know them. And it's important that we know things, that they're not just theoretical. They're not just ideas. They're not just good things that we aspire to, but they're things that we know and when we they're the basis and foundational to our lives. None of these things, none like the Word of God, truth, righteousness, salvation, those aren't things you can't dig out of a war chest and pick up and put on yourself. The things that you got to know. And victory and defeat in the Christian life ends with the power of thought of these things. Okay? The power of thought. Let me say this, and tell me if you don't get this. Before negativity ever becomes a feeling, it begins as a thought. Right? Before it ever becomes a feeling, it begins as a thought. Here's the problem. You and I can't shut down our thought life. Can't do it. God speaks to that part of us. God speaks in our thoughts. It's not audible. It's not something that I hear in His voice, but it's an idea. It comes in all kinds of ways. God speaks to me in memories and aspirations. He gives me burdens, just like He did Nehemiah, what we're reading there. That was through Nehemiah's thought life. He gave him a burden and showed him some things, and Nehemiah prayed and talked to him. That's how that works. And what's happening to us is that there's two people trying to battle or control for that thought space, the ability to speak into our thoughts. In the context of our scripture, in the context of 2 Corinthians, what we're reading here, false teachers were competing for the same space as Paul's teaching from the Lord. And I want you to get this tonight. God wanted to say some good and true and positive things to these Christian believers at Corinth. And so what did God do? God sent Paul to say them. Satan wanted to speak some false things. He wanted to speak some countermeasures of what God was saying. So what did he do? He sent some false teachers to compete for that same space. You see that there? So you got two people there that are competing for the same space. And what space? That's our thoughts. Paul's there trying to put the great things of God in there, and Satan's there using false teachers to put anything false, anything counter to what God was trying to teach them. Paul's and false teachers come in all shapes and sizes. There's all kinds of different ones out there. People that want to speak to you on behalf of God, that God puts in your life to say good and positive and great things to you, and there's all kinds of people that Satan put in your life to try to tell you the other things. There's two totally different directions that those ideas are trying to pull us to. And here's the question, which one do we listen to? How do we know which one came from where? And I want you to go back just for a second and think about going back to the garden. What did God say to Adam and Eve? He told them, he said, every tree of this garden is good to eat except one. And Satan came in, he competed for that thought space. He says, did God say? Did God say? And what he does is he comes there and he brings this countermeasure, this counter thought to make you begin to question the truth of what God says. It's the same thing that happens with us today. Before disobedience can ever become an action, at first, before mistrust can ever become a feeling, it starts with a thought. Let me say this. I think this is kind of key. This kind of started to open up my thinking about this kind of thing. If you and I know the origin of a thought, we can know where it's going to lead us. If you know where it comes from, you know where it's going to take you to. You hear what I'm saying there? And then you can even reverse that. If you know where a thought is taking you, you can also tell you where it comes from. Hear what I'm saying there? If we know that it comes from Satan, if we know that it's a tool of the devil, we know where that thought's going to take us. It's not going to be a good place. We can know that. That's going to help us in a little bit. And if we know where it's going to take us, and if you're sitting and say, this is taking me down a bad road, this is making me feel some things I'm not comfortable with, I don't like anymore, you can tell where that thought came from. You know who the originator of that thought is. Now, have any of you guys ever got into a negative headspace and you just can't get out quick enough? You get in a spot, you just can't get yourself out. You get into negative thought patterns and you just get stuck there and you feel like your wheels are stuck and you're spinning and you're like, I can't get out of this, I can't. And I'll tell you this, it doesn't matter how much scripture you know. Don't matter. I know all the ones, rejoice in the Lord always. You know, trust in the Lord, lead not into your own understanding. I know all the scripture is supposed to give me comfort and make me feel better, but then here's what happens when you're in that negative headspace. You feel bad because you know the scripture, and it's like you're not counting, you're not trusting in God. It actually works against you, and you feel even more defeated because you're like, I'm a Christian, I'm supposed to be rejoicing. Scripture commands me to rejoice, and I don't have any rejoicing in me. And this is what happens to us. Now, Corinthian believers could see that these thoughts, where they lead. And what these thoughts that these false teachers were putting in their head were that Christ isn't trustworthy. They were telling, this is what the false teachers were doing. They were Judaizers. They were coming in and said, how have you trusted in Christ? And they would say, yes, we trusted. Oh, that's good. But he won't get you all the way there. You know that, right? You know that you need to keep the law of Moses and you still need to be circumcised. These guys are like, what? I hadn't heard. That isn't what Paul told me. Oh, you can't trust Paul. When Paul's around, Paul's went everywhere saying this false gospel, telling people they can be saved by Jesus and Jesus alone. And then all of a sudden the doubt came into their mind and they began to mistrust. Did God really say that? Is that really the truth? And those two competing ideas begin to battle each other and war within their mind, and they begin to think negatively about Paul and about Paul's ministry and about the power of Christ. Now let's look at verse 5. Paul says, overthrowing reasonings and every high thing that lifts itself up against the knowledge of God, and leading captive every thought into the obedience of the Christ. Now, verse 5 says, every idea that lifts itself against God. Every idea that seems to compete. When I think of this, I think about rams like butting their heads together. Anything that challenges God, anything that wants to challenge the notion of the truth of God. And I want to say this. How do we know what challenges the truth of God? How do we know things that go up against God? And I love this, and I'm so thankful for this, but God actually tells us how to think. He tells us what to think about. I think Dub said this was his mother's favorite verse, Philippians 4:8. Let's read this together. Philippians 4:8. And this is great, but you'll understand here in a minute why this is actually more powerful than maybe we even see. In Philippians 4:8, it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. God tells us what to think about. Think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen me do, and in God and the God of peace shall be with you. Here's a little question. Does the thought that you're having, does the thought that you're feeling at the moment whenever you start to feel negative, does it make you feel deceitful? Does it make you feel untrue? Does it make you feel unclean? Does it make you feel unfair? Does it make you feel ugly? Does it make you feel negative? If they are, guess what you can determine really fast? It's not from God. And if they're not from God, the logical conclusion is, where is it from? From the enemy. And if the conclusion is from the enemy, where will that thought lead you? And that thought is trying to lead you to a self-destructive place. Now, a few things I was just kind of thinking about are the effect of things that we come in contact with every day. Facebook. I have a love-hate relationship with that thing. I really do. I struggle with it. I struggle with it because it feeds negative emotions in me. I exposes some things that I see in myself. There's times where I'm scrolling through this and I start to feel a certain way, and I don't know why I feel that way. I don't know if it's a picture that triggered it or someone's attitude or someone's thought process or what it is, but I start to feel negative emotions, negative things because of what I see. Facebook is so popular because it feeds people's emotions, and people like that. We society likes that. That's why it's a popular app. We like to have our emotions fed. That's why Netflix and all your movie has the genres of movie titles. And you can go in there and you can stick with a romance, a romantic comedy, or just a comedy, or a horror, or any of those things. We like to have our emotions fed. We like to indulge ourselves in the place that we like to indulge ourselves. Anything that feeds our emotions begins by placing or planting a thought. And I don't know if you're like me, but you're like sitting there and you're doing something. Maybe you're scrolling through your Facebook. Maybe you're watching TV. Maybe you're listening to the radio, and you're going. You don't even know what happened, but all of a sudden you have a thought. Like something doesn't feel right. Something's off. You just all of a sudden my day's changed. There's some negativity. There's like a cloud that just kind of swoops in. You're like, what happened? Everything was fine. Everything was good. And listen, if you don't struggle with this, you're gonna have no idea what I'm talking about. But if you do, you're going to know that you don't know what brings it on exactly. You just could be doing something, just doing your normal day, and all of a sudden this cloud just comes over and starts to hover, and you're like, why am I going through this? Why am I feeling this way? Sometimes you see somebody, I don't know, one of the things I noticed like on Facebook, you'll see somebody, and you'll know a little bit of the inside about their life. You'll know about how they live a little bit, what they spend their money in their spare time. And you'll see them enjoying themselves, and the thought that will come across your mind, and it'll be very judgmental. It'll be, how do they get to be able to do that? I've been doing this for so many years working so hard, and I've been wanting to give my family that vacation. Why did they get that? I know how they spend their extra time, their extra money. Why is God being so gracious to them? Why are they being so blessed? And you may not say things like that, but I'm telling you, I feel that those things happen inside my heart. I see them sometimes. I'm ashamed of them, and I hate them. And here's what happens, though. What happens is the same judgment I judge other people, that same judgment gets turned towards me. The same way I start judging other people, I start to feel negatively about why am I being... Why do I feel that way about that person's success? Why do I feel that way about that person's... whatever it is that they're going through. And I start to turn that same judgment back in on myself. And it's a cause and effect thing because... And this is what I want you to get. And if we understand, the more we understand about this, the better we can combat negative thoughts. But negative thoughts, they start and they're planted, okay? When they're planted, they start to turn into feelings, okay? Thoughts turn into feelings, and then feelings turn into negative actions. And it's almost like a baby being born. You all see that there? The negative thought comes in, it's like a seed just being planted. It gets its root. And that turns into a feeling. And then when that feeling turns into inaction. Here's the deal. Is if you and I could stop thoughts, if we could remove certain influences of life, if we could just shut down our social medias or movies or radio or delete people from our phones or whatever it is, that'd be great. But we can't always do that. But sometimes we have to deal with it. And sometimes you can do all those things, but I'm telling you right now that the Satan would love to disrupt you so much that sometimes he builds customized Scud missiles that will go through all the little things that you've sit there and try to protect yourself with. You've deleted this, you've deleted that, you've blocked yourself from this, you put all these things up, and he still finds a way to penetrate to get into there. So what do we do? There's some practical steps. I got at least four things that I want to share with you tonight about how we lead our thoughts captive. And the first one is, and don't let this blow your mind, just think. Think is what got me into this mess. Think is why I'm struggling right now. Well, I understand what you're saying. What I'm saying is what we need to do is we got to stop and we got to think about what we're thinking about. Okay? Sometimes, how many of you guys are guilty at all of ever letting your thoughts just run rampant? Just like you're like a bystander, and your thoughts are doing whatever they want to do. Okay? What this is about not being that bystander. It's actually to think about the things that you're thinking about. Don't allow your mind to run wild. And here's what we have to do, is you have to start to admit right there, is that not every thought that I have is true, Wayne. Everything that comes to my mind, just because I thought it, just because it enters my mind, doesn't make it a true statement. You know how many things that you can eliminate, that you can just kick out of your brain if you just think actively about what you're thinking about, and you say, is that true? Nope. And you can. There's so many things you could cull out of your mind if you just begin to be active in that thought process and not let your thoughts just happen, but you actually think about the things that you're thinking about. Second thing is what Paul says here. He says, take captive is capture it. Here's what I didn't understand when I first would read these verses and people would tell me about this. What capture it meant. Like I said, I told Allison one time, I was describing to her what it was like when I was at the height of really struggling with depression and negative thoughts. She says, you know, what are you thinking? And I said, it's like 52 car pickup. It's just like, and I just, you just grab a card out of the air. There's any random thought in the world, all of a sudden, just shooting out of my head, and they're going everywhere. When it says to take captive of our thoughts, I believe what that means now is to actually pull it down. Put a thought in parentheses. Like, don't say, hey, what's wrong? Everything's wrong. Don't say, it's this, it's that, and it's really easy to be real burdened like that and to talk to somebody and say, hey, what's going on with you? Well, my marriage is messed up. My kids don't listen to me. No. Stop and put it in parentheses. Capture the thought. What is actually bothering you? Actually put a label on it and grab it and just look at it for what it is. Just study it for a second. Capture. What is the thought that's bothering you? If someone could have come up to you and asked you and say, hey, what is that thought? Could you give them a concise statement? That's what it would mean to capture. I'm a horrible mom. I'm a bad preacher. I'm not bad. I'm an absent father. What is that thing, that negative feeling that you got going through? You capture it. Actually, say it for what it is. Call it something. The third thing, test it. How do we test it? We test it by Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Is it true? Is it right? Is it lovely? Is it praiseworthy? And here's the tricky part. If you've been in a negative space before, if you've been in a depression, it doesn't matter how bad your thought is or how crazy or how over the top negative those feelings are, they're true to you. If someone said, "Is that true?" you'd say, "Yes, they are." And this is the tricky part here. So what you have to do is you have to start to ask yourself, is the thought that I'm having, is it a label or is it an accusation? What I mean is your thought, well, you're just a this, or you're just a that, you're a bad dad, you're a bad preacher, you're a bad husband, you're a bad friend, you don't do this right, you're not handling yourself. Is it accusatory and is it a label? And if it's either one of those, you can start to rule out where that comes from. Because Jesus doesn't accuse us. Jesus doesn't point the finger and say, you. Satan does that. And if it's a label, God has labeled us. He says, you are spotless. You are redeemed. You are my child. You are loved. You are forgiven. And so when our labels go outside those labels, when it starts to be you're selfish, you're ornery, you're not living up to the standard, then you know that those things, listen, are not from a place of truth. Okay? And let's just say for a second that something about that, one of those statements, I guess the world would say around you, say, hey, that is true. He's not a very good husband. She's not a very good listener. She's not a very good mom. Glory be to God that Jesus makes us different. That we don't have to stick to our labels. We're not defined by our sin. And so if those are the things that we're hearing, we got to test those things and say, is it of those things, the things that I'm hearing, the thoughts that I'm having, are they good? Are they noble? Are they right? Are they lovely? Are they praiseworthy? If they're not, then here's what we do. We got to go, when we know it's not from God, we got to label it for what it is. Thoughts, think about what it's like to get a thought and you pull it down in parentheses and you got it and say, that thought is silly. That thought is untrue. That thought is negative. That thought is illogical. The power of those thoughts cease. Because here's what gives our thoughts power, is when they get to wear a name tag around in our brains. And what it is, it's like Satan trying to disguise himself, and you got a thought running around your head saying, "I'm true. I'm saying that the gospel truth right here." And it's wearing this name tag, and when you sit there and you identify it, so that's not from God. That's silly. That's illogical. That's untrue. You get to call it what it is, and it ceases to have power in your mind. That's key. Pulling it down, put it in parentheses. What is that thought? Is it from God? If it's not from God, it's not true. The fourth thing, after you test it, you have to decide. You have to decide what to do with it. If it's true, you got to keep it. If it's true, you need to keep it and you need to deal with it. It may be a good thing you need to deal with. It may be a bad thing you need to deal with. But if it's true, you need to deal with it. But if it's not true, what do you think you need to do with it? You need to throw it out. I think probably for some of us, or maybe for a lot of us, or maybe just for me, the problem is that sometimes I think I would take captive thoughts, but I would keep them captive. I'd put them in that prison cell, and I'd go back and visit them and say, "Are you still there? You still there?" The accusation that you're not good enough, that you're not, you know, whatever it is, whatever negative thought is, I keep checking, and what happens? And what seems to happen is that if you get enough of those negative thoughts sitting in there, they overthrow the prison. They end up kicking the doors down, and they end up taking over the mind space again. And all the ones that you locked away that you said that was that kind of thought, what you have to do when you find something that's untrue, when you find something that's negative, when you find something that's not of God, you got to release it. You got to kick it out. You don't hold on to it. I would say 100% of the problems that I have with negative thinking is because I keep those thoughts. They stay there. Even after I've labeled them, even after I know the truth of them, I keep them there. I know tonight, this morning, when I asked anybody struggles with this or knows somebody, almost everybody raised their hand. I imagine it's rampant among. It's hard for Christians to admit that we struggle with negative thinking, as we're not supposed to. We have a God that's on the throne with the control of everything, and that we have a home in heaven, and we're not supposed to have the worries and the cares and the fears of the world. But I want to tell you right now that there's other things competing for that headspace. There's other things that competing for that knowledge that God has given you. And what you are when you're in this, listen, I'm not one of those people like to play into like the whole victim mentality, but you're a victim of false teaching. You're a victim of Satan preying on you and trying to tell you something false and trying to combat the truth that God's given you. And so this morning, this evening, I want to tell you guys, if you could just do these things, maybe if you could just write these things down somewhere. And like I said at the beginning of this, if this COVID taught me anything, I think before, when he had negative thoughts, I keep myself busy, I keep on keeping on, and what we'd find out is that those thoughts would overrun us at some point in time. But I'm telling you, if COVID's taught me anything, is that we can stop for a minute. We can stop for a minute, we can think about these things, we can take time to lead our thoughts captive, label them and kick them out, or keep them and decide that they're worth keeping. So let's stand tonight. Now, I want to tell you, if you're in here tonight and you've got some negative emotions, negative thoughts, and this is like something that you're dealing with and been dealing with, I'd love to pray with you. And if you'd pray with me, I'd love the same thing. But I want to tell you that I believe God doesn't want you to live that way. He doesn't want us to stay that way. And I believe the answers are in God's Word. It's not from a change of pace, a change of place, a change of environment, that it's actually learning to let God's truth speak over the lies that you hear in everyday life. And if you're in need of prayer tonight and you want somebody to pray with you, I'm up here, okay? Let's go to God. God, this evening, Father, help us to begin the process of searching our minds and searching our hearts and discovering what things that we may have maybe long held on to that we might need to release today. Before any new thought, before any new thing comes to us today or tomorrow or the coming weeks, that Father, we go back and we just kind of look into the cellars, to the dungeons of our heart, and see if there's anything that we've left captive, something that we should have released, something that we should have kicked out long ago. Father, let us do that tonight. Father, I pray that over all things, that your word begin to speak over the confusion and the lies and the things that we hear day to day, and the competition that we have, the war that we have going on inside of our minds. Father, I pray that every Christian in our church will live victorious lives. And Father, in order to do that, we have to know the truth. I pray in the coming weeks and months and years that we would begin a quest of knowing you deeper and better, and being able to rest and say confidently the truth of your word and know it in our hearts. If there's anyone in here struggling, anyone in here hurting, I pray that that your peace that passes all understanding, Father, would just come alongside them. Help us lift our brothers up and our sisters up tonight. I ask in Christ's name, amen.